May the love of God enfold us, the wisdom of Jesus enlighten us, and the fire of the Holy Spirit inflame us. Amen. Amen. The best known women of the New Testament, after Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, are arguably the two that we've just heard about, Mary and Martha. That Mary not to be confused with Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Mary Magdalene, or various other Marys who show up along the way, who are not connected to me, except through ancestry of faith. In any case, because Mary and Martha are so well known, I want to begin with a few comments on what this story is not about. First off, this is not a story about women's work. Let me say that again. This is not about women's work. The story has been used too often over the centuries to pit women against each other. And then the men generally have used it to dismiss the role of women in the church, whether as disciples of Jesus when he was around or even still today. This is a story not about women's work, but about human behavior. It has as much to say to men as to women about how we interact with each other and with Jesus. We miss the main point if we focus on the contrast between the personalities of Martha and Mary. Which brings me to my second point. This story is not about Martha or Mary personality types. It is not an either or, it is a both and. Yes, some people, not just women, have tendencies towards one or the other end of that spectrum. But it's not an either or. We all need to cultivate our active and our contemplative sides. And that brings me to point number three. This is not a story about how we are to behave at all times and places. This is a story about a specific moment in time when Jesus arrives on the doorstep of Mary and Martha for a visit. It's told at the end of chapter 10 of Luke's gospel, a chapter that begins with the sending forth of the 70 and talks then, as we heard last week, about what it means to be hospitable through the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is a chapter all about what hospitality looks like. And that's important also, because over-the-top hospitality was, and actually still is, a highly valued piece of Middle Eastern culture. So if we were to accept the idea that we're all supposed to constantly sit at the feet of Jesus, there would be no one to prepare the food that is so essential to being hospitable to visitors. And that makes no sense whatsoever. So the issue that is at the heart of this story is how it is that we offer hospitality. The issue is about Martha's attitude towards her work. She allows herself, as Jesus says, to be distracted by many things, and then take that out on her sister in a very clever form of triangulation between Jesus and Mary. Jesus then reminds her that it's much more important to pay attention to him when he is around. And that's why this story, I suspect, is probably even more important for us to hear today than it was when it was first set to paper by Luke. Distraction is a constant for us, for all of us who have gone from living a frenetic life to living a life that's moving at warp speed. Doesn't matter if we're talking about our personal lives, the lives of our children and young grandchildren, or the 24/7 news cycle and the global village in which we live. It's harder and harder for us to keep up let alone to slow down and pay attention to Jesus. Almost all of us, myself included, I am preaching this sermon to myself, I will say that freely, we've become adept at going 110 miles an hour through our daily life. And the challenge that Jesus puts before us is to find a rhythm between the frenetic activity and pausing to recognize where Jesus is at work. Both are essential to our spiritual wholeness. We can't keep up that frenetic pace for long. So I want to say a word about what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sister Joan Chittister, a very well-known Benedictine nun, said in a 2000 talk for the Center for Contemplation and Action, that says it all, she said this about the importance of contemplation. Those who have no flame in their hearts for justice, no consciousness of personal responsibility for the reign of God, no raging commitment to human community, may indeed be seeking God. But make no mistake, God is still, at best, only an idea for them, not a living reality. Indeed, contemplation is a very dangerous activity. It not only brings us face to face with God, it brings us as well face to face with the world. And then it brings us face to face with the self. And then, of course, something must be done. Something must be filled up, added to, freed from, begun again, ended at once, changed or created or healed, because nothing stays the same once we have found God within. We become connected to everything, to everyone. We carry the whole world in our hearts, the oppression of all peoples, the suffering of our friends, the burdens of our enemies, the raping of the earth, the hunger of the starving, the joyous expectation every laughing child has a right to. Then the zeal for justice overcomes us. Then action and prayer are one. It's a lengthy quote, but well said, much better than I can say it, about the need for us to have contemplation as well as action, to be able to bring the love of Jesus to all those who surround us. And it's not easy to find that rhythm. Early this past week, I met with my spiritual director, whom I see about once a month, and I was telling her about all the amazing, wonderful things that have been happening here at St. James and in my own personal life in the last couple of months. I must have said that I was in awe of everything going on, because she then stopped me and asked if I had paused to rest in that awe, which is a different way of paying attention to Jesus and to his presence among us. I had to confess that I had not paused, and I will confess to you that I still have not really paused. I just keep on going to the next thing, and I suspect that I am not alone in that. Jesus has been very active around St. James and in the greater Westwood neighborhood recently. There are so many awe-filled experiences which we can let pass us by in the midst of our frenetic activity. And I also know that despite your best intentions, you're not likely to go home today and pause to make that time and space to focus on those moments when you have been aware recently of Jesus being present in your midst. So we're going to take a couple of minutes now for that pause, to be able to contemplate and to sit in awe of what it is that Jesus is doing among us, in our personal lives, in the life of the people of this congregation, in the wider life of this neighborhood and beyond, and to give thanks for that, so that we can be renewed to go back out into the world.